The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to the Tone and Tennis Show. I'm Randall Jefferson. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call and join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. On X, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, our handle is at Tone Antenna Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone Antenna in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today is, in a democracy, should a present or past government official be above the law and treated differently? Think about what I just said. Should a present or past government official be above the law and treated differently? And are they treated differently if you're in the position of power or government than the everyday citizen? We're going to discuss that today. But before we get started, I would like to, one, congratulate Mr. McCormick, who is the U.S. Senator-elect for Pennsylvania. And I would also like to congratulate and thank Senator Robert P. Casey for his dedication and years of service to the state of Pennsylvania on all levels of government, and most recently in the U.S. Senate Senator Casey has been joining this show several times, and he is also, and still is, because he's still in position, an advocate for our elderly and our aging population here in these United States. So we want to congratulate him for a well-run campaign, and we want to also thank him again for his years of service in government and to the people of Pennsylvania and these United States. Remember, the first of the topic is in a democracy. Let's look at what democracy is. And we've said this over and over again. Democracy, taken in its narrower, purely political sense, suffers from the fact that those in economic and political power possess the means for molding public opinion to serve their own class interests. Remember that last line, to serve their own class interests. The democratic form of government in itself does not automatically solve problems. It offers, however, a useful framework for their solution. And that's for the solution, the problems. Everything depends ultimately on the political and moral qualities of the citizenry. And that was Albert Einstein wrote that. Now, I just want to add a little piece to that, because we're in the 21st century, or we're in the year 2024, moving forward. It also should ultimately depend on those that are serving in governments, their moral qualities, not just that of the citizenry, which is you and I, but those that we elect or select, whichever you prefer, should have moral standards and should remember that they were hired by the people. And as the Constitution says, we the people of these United States. So when you read we the people, that means all of us. We are the employers of these folks that are bickering, fighting amongst themselves. We elected or selected them into office to do a job. And unlike the private sector or corporate sector, whichever way you want to look at it, you can't just ultimately walk into the office and say, you're fired. Pack up your desks. You're fired. Unlike, now, think about this now. Within the DNC organization, the Democratic National Committee, after the election, today will be about 300 people's last day. Today will be their last day working for the Democratic National Committee. They were told this, and some of these folks have worked for the DNC for about 40 years. So think about that. The idea that government and government officials are not above the law is best described by the rule of law. The principle means that all individuals, including those in position of power, are subject to the same laws. You know, it says they are subject to the same laws. As you think about what's going on in these United States as we transition from one administration to another, we see that there are folks that were in power that have been selected by the president-elect that have baggage. They have baggage. Representative Gates, who resigned from Congress with his baggage of having sexual relations with underage girls and ultimately paying them off, which he claims and still claims that He did not, and he was cleared of those charges, allegedly. But when you look at this, if it was you or I, we would have been under the jail. But when you possess the power of government, folks, even though that statement says that they are not above the law, they feel as though they are above the law. And even with President-elect Donald Trump, think about it. The only way, had he not won, that he possibly could have been pardoned would have been someone, a Republican, winning the presidential nomination and becoming president-elect. Now, as we all know, he has been indicted and convicted of several charges. Will the president, on day one, on January 20th, or the soon thereafter, pardon himself of all those charges? Think about it. That's the power of these elected or selected officials have. You and I will be, you have to, he was convicted in a court of law by his peers. You and I will be convicted in a court of law by our peers, but then we can't use power to overturn our convictions. We don't have the same bully pulpit as these elected, selected officials. Yeah, and this is astonishing to me because, you know, I was looking, thinking, trying to figure out what we were going to talk about, and all of this, all of these numbers and everything started coming up. And there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of things that go on within our government that really there's no oversight. It's the same. There's two industries, and I'm calling them industries, where you'll find an abundance of corruption. One is government, whether it's local, state, or federal, and the nonprofit industry. Within the nonprofit industry, you have a lot of sticky fingers. People siphoning off money, thinking nobody is seeing what's going on. But you know, a fish would never get caught if he kept his mouth shut. A fish would never get caught if he kept his mouth shut. In the year 2023, according to this report, the FBI report, the latest fiscal year end data from the Justice Department show that during fiscal year 2023, the federal government reported 334 new official corruption convictions. According to the case-by-case information analyzed by the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, the number is up 2.5% over the previous fiscal year, which would have been 2022. 24 hasn't ended yet. So that number in 2022 was 326. According to these to the government records, the single largest number of convictions during fiscal year 2023 were of local government officials for official corruption offenses. These accounted for 1 in 4 of these convictions, or 80 in total, in comparison to convictions of state officials for these types of crimes, were half that number, about 1 in 8 of these convictions of 41. Think about this. These are people that are working in government. These are the people that are supposed to be, and not above the law, supposed to be interpreting the law, helping to enforce the law, develop the law. So when you think about it, those folks that are working there that wrote the laws, they know their own loopholes before the bill even gets passed. There is so much corruption going on. It's crazy. It's crazy. But we got to get the handle on this, because we as a country can spiral out of control. We as a city, the city of Philadelphia, can spiral out of control. The states can spiral out of control. It's just not right when you really think about it. The Southern District of New York, which is Manhattan, had more individuals convicted, 24, compared to the District of Columbia, 17, during the fiscal year 2023. Alaska was in second place with 7 times the number of convictions as the national rate, while Hawaii and North Dakota tied for 5th. Think about this. In the statistics for 2023, we would probably have President-elect Donald Trump, according to these statistics. And I'm not here to beat or to say the president-elect is corrupt. I'm not saying he's, but he is a convicted felon. You know, but that's not just within him. You know, that's not just with President Trump. That has happened all over these United States, and especially here in the city of Philadelphia. And what's amazing to me is that when a person is convicted of, and that's supposed to be in these positions of power, and they're convicted, they can come right back. Some even gone to jail. Some even stole from nonprofits or intertwined a nonprofit, and come back and go back into work within the city, getting paid taxpayer dollars. There was a recent article here in the city of Philadelphia where the headline in the Inquirer, 3 convicted former elected officials land city jobs. And it was written by Ryan Briggs and Max Marin. The 3 that we're talking about is 3 former Philadelphia elected officials who were convicted on corruption charges and left office in disgrace have found a second chance with taxpayer-funded jobs. Former traffic court judge Willie Singletary and former state rep Leslie Acosta both landed positions in our present mayor's administration, Sherelle Parker. And former state rep Movita Johnson Harrell is now working on the sheriff in the sheriff's department under Rochelle Bilal, who is a sheriff. Singletary, who was kicked off the bench for sexual harassment in 2011 and convicted in 2014 for lying to the FBI about fixing a ticket, is employed as a deputy director in the managing director's office, earning $90,000 salary, taxpayer dollars. Acosta, who pleaded guilty in 2016 to helping facilitate a money laundering conspiracy at a low-income mental health clinic, landed a community outreach job within the Department of Commerce, earning $70,000, taxpayers' money. Think about it now. Representative Acosta laundered money at a low-income mental health clinic, which is in the community, and now they have an outreach job. And former state rep and first Muslim ever to be elected to the state house here in Pennsylvania, Movita Johnson who pleaded guilty to theft and perjury after being charged with taking $500,000 from a nonprofit that she founded, started as a public information officer in the sheriff's office in August. She draws a $75,000 a year salary. Taxpayer dollars. And I must note that in the Inquirer, they did state that none of the former elected officials responded to the request for comment. Remember what I said. The two things that we must look at, government, nonprofit. Because why is it so relevant? Because there is no track. There is very little accountability. There is very little oversight. And it's being done over and over and over again. Within the city of Philadelphia, the sheriff's sale, part of the former rep, state rep, had to deal with properties. Well, sheriff's sale, they list all of the properties are up for sale. Why would someone be employed in an industry or in a position where now you have access to these homes? Why would we look at federal officials who come back and can walk the aisles of Congress and do the things that they do, resign, and still be tapped for the highest ranking officer in the land? That's the part of the morals of the democracy. It's not about the morals. It's about the power. It's about the relationships. See, folks, those that are trying to do the right thing are always the ones that have to struggle. You know, domestic violence. You have government officials. You have people that worked in these positions or worked for folks that are involved in domestic violence cases. And they try to use military affiliation to circumvent. Granted, everybody is not corrupt. But until we get on track, until we have some transparency, people take responsibility, we have some form of accountability, and we find credible and knowledgeable people, we will continue to have the tomfoolery that goes on within the nonprofit sector and our local, state, and federal governments. And what's interesting is when you look at some of this stuff that goes on, a lot of these folks are intertwined with some type of nonprofit or have their hand on the pulse. Think about it. Former Congressman Shaka Fatah, who went to jail here out of Philadelphia. You know, these folks are supposed to be disgraced, but then they come back and they get, a lot of folks get these jobs because of their relationships with other folks. It's that small web, you know, that small group, because the others don't want you to let the cat out the bag on them. So you have to look at this, and we have to start being more transparent. We as a people have to look at what's going on. Your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your mother, your father can go to jail. But they can't come out. They have to struggle to barely get $15 an hour. They don't have those connections. You know, you can't. You have folks that go and work for the district attorney's office as advisors that have criminal backgrounds. And I get it. You know, who best to try to tell you which way to go is a criminal themselves. But this is all on taxpayer dollars. It's not the average criminal without the connections. So think about this, ladies and gentlemen. While we take our first break, our topic is, in a democracy, should a present or past government official be above the law and treated differently? You're listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and 97.5 HD2.
Just to take a stand, the greater plans, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out in touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. Our conversation today, in a democracy, should a present or past government official be above the law and treated differently than you? Than you. You know, that's interesting. Should somebody, because they have a little bit of power, or they have those high-stake relationships, be treated differently? Should they? That's interesting. That's a food for thought for a lot of us when we need to really look at it. You know, just recently, if we come into the day, over in New Jersey, our sister state, right across the bridge, the senior center over there, Bob Menendez, was found guilty of all of his charges for accepting bribes, including cash and gold bars, to benefit governments of Egypt. So what goes on doesn't just happen here in these United States. It trickles around the world. You know, it gets good to people. You know, it's just like the person in the nonprofit that goes in and they see there's nobody watching or making them, holding them accountable, they start with a couple dollars, then they go to another couple dollars, then the couple dollars get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like with anything else. When you keep thinking you can get away with it and you're not going to get caught, they are going to do it. But eventually, you're going to get caught. Eventually, the eyes are going to be opened and you're going to get caught. But the problem is, once they're getting caught and they come back, should they come back into government jobs, whether they be local, state, or federal, because these are taxpayer dollars paying these folks. Because, and they got the jobs because of relationships. Is this the way we should be operating? I say no. Some may disagree with me. Some may even say, look at what's going on. I mean, when we look at a lot of these folks, man, you know, some of these, you know, a lot of folks, Ernie Priet here in the state of Pennsylvania, he was convicted of mail fraud years ago. You know, Paul Silverstein, Connecticut State Treasurer, RICO Act. Robert Vigil, New Mexico State Treasurer, Hobbs Act. You know, Dan Morales, mail fraud. Meg Scott Phillips, North Carolina Commissioner of Agriculture, the Hobbs Act. You know, Richard Flowers, Senior, Attorney General of Alabama, Hobbs Act. You know, Pennsylvania, Bud Dwyer, Treasurer of Pennsylvania, mail fraud. These are all former people. I mean, these are people that are elected and we put into these positions thinking that they were going to do what was right for the constituency and those that voted for him. So when somebody, you know, I mentioned the Hobbs Act. Hobbs Act is a federal law that prohibits robbery or extortion that affects interstate or foreign commerce. The Hobbs Act defines robbery as taking or attempted taking of property from another person by force, violence, intimidation, or fear. Basically, it's racketeering. It could be similar to racketeering. Hobbs Act was enacted in 1946. So you think about this. 1946, this is 2024. Almost 80 years ago. 2 years shy of being 80 years. This act. So that shows you that this is not something that's new. Governmental corruption and relationships and the use of taxpayer dollars to pay folks is nothing new. It's over and over. There's no true oversight. And then now they've begun to intertwine the nonprofit sector into this. Some of these folks have led nonprofits. Some of them are still involved with nonprofits, and they continue to do this. You know, and if just around here in the city of Philadelphia, in the outskirts, in smaller towns and boroughs, there's a lot of folks that have been recently found guilty or are under investigation for having sticky fingers, whether it's in government or nonprofits. Why? Because there's no oversight. Or those in leadership have to give somebody return a favor. And I'm not saying all folks, now disclaimer is, all of them don't do it. So don't get me wrong. But eventually, those that are sitting in those positions of power and are the folks where the buck stops with them has to make sure that all of their I's are dotted and their T's are crossed. Otherwise, you're going to have what's going on today. And it's not going to stop overnight. A lot of things, you know, we don't have that magic wand that we can wave and say, this will solve this problem, this will solve that problem, this will solve that. That's why it is important to vet folks before they go into these offices. You know, in the corporate world, it's called interview. But in the corporate world, they don't pull your bank accounts. They don't pull all this other stuff, but they're starting to look at it. They don't do an in-depth, allegedly supposed to be in-depth, background check and all of that. They do make a few phone calls. But in the world of government, these folks are should be vetted. You know, when the president says, president-elect wants to put his name in his cabinet, the folks that are that he wants to name are vetted. They go through a crucially painstaking vetting process and looking at what things come up. And it ultimately, the person, as it look at it, in Mr. Gatz's case, he actually said, okay, you know, I'm taking away from the actual transition. I'm stepping down, but I'm not guilty of anything, but I don't want to muddy the water for the president-elect. But it comes down to the Senate. The Senate, those 50 men and women are the ones that will, during the Judiciary Committee and all of that, will sit there and they will browbow. Some of them will browbow. They'll ask those hard questions. Some of them won't even ask the hard questions. Some of them may even rubber stamp. Because this is the power of the position. It's not about the money. It's the power of the position. But that's not what a democracy is all about. You know, some folks say we live in a republic, not a democracy. You know, that could be argued. But you've got to understand that an everyday person does not have the same relationships that the power brokers are that are elected or selected have or had when they were in office. Those relationships just don't go away. They just don't go away. You know, we have so many disgraced elected officials that come back into our city with the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, Philadelphia, that end up going back into the public sector and getting paid taxpayer dollars with a high five-figure salary. Because mid to me is $50,000. So anything over $50,000 is high. Okay, five-figure salary. But that's taxpayer dollars. We need to begin to look at and really have real oversight committees. You know, they have what they call oversight committees in government. But these folks have to start to do their jobs. It's not about, it should not be about what that person, your relationship with that person. It should be about if someone is doing something wrong, you call them on the carpet. You know, think about it. If you're elected an official or selected, because most people are selected because they run against nobody. They're running against nobody. So they're selected, in my opinion. In my opinion, they're selected. But when you start really looking at this without oversight, without true oversight committee that will call people on the carpet, they will continue to do the things that they do. You can't just sit there and be idle. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. You just can't sit there and say, oh, it'll fix itself. It won't. We have to stand up, as the song said, and count for something. You know, we have to challenge these elected officials. We have to challenge them at every curve in the road, every intersection. And if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, we have to fire them. Well, it's harder to fire them than somebody in the regular corporate sector. Because you just can't walk into the office unless they're being escorted out for doing something by Capitol Police or Sheriff's Office that really, really breaks the law. But yet and still, they still can go back into government. They still can be paid through our taxpayer dollars. And think about it. A congressperson is 2 years. In a city here in Philadelphia, a councilperson is 4 years. A mayor is 4 years. U.S. Congress is 2 years. U.S. Senate is 6 years. President of the United States is 4 years, two terms maximum, which would be 8 years. The state of Pennsylvania, 2 years for a rep. But you think about it. You've got to endure all of this until it's time to go back to the ballot box. So why not alleviate the problems before you get to the ballot box? Why not understand what folks are doing? Why not question what folks are doing? Yes, the special interest groups' money controls a lot of the decision-making that goes on in this country, in our states, and in our cities. But they don't really control the ballot box if you get up off of your rusty dusties and go out and vote. There's a lot of people upset. There's a lot of people unhappy with the present, with what happened in the elections. Whether it be your local, state, or federal. But you have to demand, or we have to demand, that we have a real choice. We have choices. We can't say, just let people skate through because they have connections or relationships and or a special interest group or a party finds another job for somebody else so their person can go and sit. And they will vote the way they need to be voted. Heck, there's right here in the state of Philadelphia, state of Pennsylvania, in one district, from a special election, someone was elected, and there is no open office in the district. The sign says, we are moving. You can visit us virtually at their Harrisburg, email address. Not the constituent services name, but the rep's name. How efficient is that? This is what happens when folks that want a particular person or persons in office band together and get everybody else knocked out the way. You now have no choice. But now you as a constituent suffers because you have no choice. You know what? I forgot our second break. Let's take a quick second break and we'll come right back and we'll end the show.
There's too many of you crying. brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. I'm Randall Jefferson. You know, we were talking about state reps. We talked about our local. We talked about federal. And we're talking about a democracy, you know, and are our elected, are our, should a present or past government official be above the law and treated differently? Well, you know, we all know that they're treated differently. We all know that. You know, they're treated differently than you and I, the everyday citizen, you know, because of their relationships and connections. But just to really put some understanding throughout the country, you know, because I'm very familiar with our own state of Pennsylvania, but state of Alabama, John Rogers, 2024, was convicted of wire. He was a state rep, convicted of wire and mail fraud. You know, that's 2024. And from 20 to 24, they had 5 people convicted of some form of theft or wire fraud or voter fraud. Arizona, state senators convicted of sexual relations with a minor. You know, that seems to come about with our selected elected officials. You know, you always, these sexual relations are coming out with on all levels of government. Senator Keith B. convicted of fraud. Arkansas state senator, that was 22. Colorado had state senator convicted of perjury about her residency and received a 2-year deferred judgment. She lied about her residency, but her conviction was deferred for 2 years just to do community service. People copying secured passwords in Colorado. State Rep Mike DeMessa pleaded guilty to conspiracy of stealing COVID relief funds. We're talking about a state rep. This is what I'm saying. They know how to attempt to try to circumvent the process because they're the ones that put the laws in place. Florida, Frank Attilis, manager Alex Rodriguez and state in Florida State Center, was arrested for backing a straw candidate paying Rodriguez, an auto parts salesman, to run as a false ghost candidate to siphon votes away from a Democratic incumbent. Look at the time trickery, the time foolery that goes on in our governments. State Representative Joe Harding pleaded guilty to wire fraud, money laundering, and false statements involving COVID-19. You know, this is, in the words of Mike Tyson, this is ludicrous. It's that ludicrous. You know, think about it. If you don't believe me, you can go look this up yourself. Illinois State Senator Inez Collins convicted of tax offenses, 2024. They're the ones that make the laws. State Representative Laura Rayo convicted of fraud. State Senator Tom Curran, this is Illinois now, convicted of embezzlement. Terry Link, convicted of tax evasion. But you and I got to pay our taxes. They're going to come knock on our doors. This is not right, ladies and gentlemen. Mississippi, State Representative Earl Banks, convicted of fraud. John Davis, State Director of the State Department of Human Services, and five others embezzled $98 million. Embezzled $98 million from the State Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. This is money that was supposed to go to needy families. We're talking about $98 million. Six people in the state of Mississippi. Who's minding the store? Who's minding the store? Missouri, state representative treated death, convicted of fraud. All of these folks, New York, North Carolina, every state, whether state or local. The most recent one for Pennsylvania was State Senator Michael Flomer, Republican, was convicted of possession of child pornography and served 1 year in prison. That was in 2020. These folks are the folks that we entrust. We entrust them to run these governments. We elect them. Some are selected. They have relationships, and some will come out, and they will begin to get taxpayer dollars again. Our money, your hard-earned money. For some of you, in some states, it's still $7.25 an hour here in the state of Pennsylvania. And in these United States, we have a Congress that can't even settle on increasing the minimum wage, but yet and still, through relationships or what have you, former members of state houses, local governments, former employees can go and get these jobs, paying them state, local, and federal dollars through our taxes. Is that right? Is that right? But it all starts at the top. Because what you'll hear is, Jane Doe did it and got away with it, so why can't I? But brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you'll eventually get caught. You'll get caught. And are those, what you're doing, going off track, not being transparent, not being responsible, not being accountable, not being credible, and not having the right people that are knowledgeable in these positions, is that what we really want for the years to come? You know, that's not what I want to see, but I'm just one person. Hopefully, everyone will understand what I'm trying to say. In a democracy, should a present or past government official be above the law and treated differently? What say you? I say no. I want to thank our engineer today. I want to thank Tyler for putting up with me today. I want to thank all of you that listen to the Tone and Tenor Show. You can follow us on X. We are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor to find our page. Please look out for us in the coming weeks. You never know where Tone and Tenor or a member of Tone and Tenor team will be up to. But there are some members, I want to say this now. Former host is no longer with Tone and Tenor and does not represent Tone and Tenor Pat Edouard does not represent tone and tenor. So any press or whatever, he cannot use that press pass to get in anywhere. If you find out, let us know. We will do what we need to do. Thank you, because we're going to start at the top. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, bipartisan voice of the hit people. Talk radio show here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2 out of Philadelphia.